you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. There's some things that are going on in ministry in this time that aren't really exciting God. They excite us, but they don't excite Him. And as I was rereading this and going over this, I saw some things that I hadn't seen before. And not only that it doesn't deal to you, but it deals with me. Things that I've been through this week, things that I've had to keep up under my feet and keep under subjection to the Spirit of God in my life, because they try to overthrow the blessing or the presence of God. We're all being tried as like unto a fire. It's up to us whether or not we become that pure gold or not. God can't make us be the gold. We have to allow ourselves to become the gold. And as I was reading this, the more I read the epistles, the more I can see the God that was in the man that wrote them. I don't so much see him, but I see the God that was in him. And I understand why he wrote some of the things he wrote the way he wrote them, because he was always in the pit. He was always in the midst of a trial. He went from one trial to the next. And a lot of it, as he ministers on it, is foolishness. And a lot of the stuff we have to deal with in this day is foolishness. Amen. But what you gonna do? It's got a name too. In the first verse it says, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I know it seems, sounds like I missed some words, but when I read, when I quote scriptures, I quote them according to the original writings so that the ad lib is not there. Because if you put the ad lib in there, it diminishes the power of the word that's trying to be given to us. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. The word have, the translation for the word have in the Greek is to have ability and relation and conditions corresponding with the ministry that God has placed in your life. There is a ministry in your life. You determine the purpose of that ministry by the way you handle your circumstances and your situations. I found that out this week with some situations I had. I handled the purpose of God in my life. God doesn't come down and handle it for me. I have to handle it. I have to do what I have to do for God. There were people that don't even go to this church, but they're born again, or they said they're born again, that I saw doing things to afflict me, you know, and I could hear God saying, don't retaliate. And I wanted to retaliate, but God said, don't retaliate, because that's not what I called you to. And then I began to see the ministry that God had allowed to develop. Listen to me. He didn't place it in me, but it began to develop in me. It developed through the process of trial and tribulation and circumstance and heartache and pain and stress and distress and situations. That's how it began to develop. There was a development process that took place and is still taking place today. And that's because God is trying to take us someplace. A lot of times we only want to go where we want to go and see what we want to see and feel the way we want to feel. But God has a purpose for our lives, for the ministry that is in us, that's going to cause you some pain. It's going to cause you some heartache. It's going to make you sick to no end. It's going to get on your nerves. It's going to prick your flesh. But that's the only way you can become who God has ordained that you become. Didn't nobody say it was going to be easy? If it was going to be easy, then there would be no ministers around. There wouldn't be anointed ministers. Everybody would get up and call themselves a prophet of God, or I'm an apostle, or I'm a bishop, or whatever they wanted to call themselves, without any glory of God manifesting in their lives to show forth the ministry. He is telling them this same mercy. He said, we have received mercy. We have received mercy. Obtained mercy. God has given us mercy. He showed mercy unto us. He forgave us of all our transgressions and all our sins and all our trials and our circumstance and concubine. He gave us, he showed us his mercy. Therefore, if he was able, and see, he's not talking about God in the predestination part of showing us mercy, but he's talking about the mercy that Christ showed us by giving his life for a people that didn't even care about him. That's mercy. That's the undeserved favor of God being elevated to a place where you have no place, no reason not to accept it. But then God said, if you accept it, then I expect something of you. He said, I expect you not to faint. I expect you not to be weak. That's a little rough, Pastor. You're going through all kinds of stuff, all kinds of hell. Folks afflicting you, persecuting you. You persecuting yourself, afflicting yourself. And he's telling you, don't be weak. And don't be weary. Now, you have to get a clear understanding. He's not saying don't be weary and doing well. He said don't be weary in the point to the place where you become weak concerning this gospel. This gospel, if you really ask God for the undivided, you want to get to the grassroots of what God is trying to teach us, it's going to cost you something. He said, don't faint. You can't be weak. Don't be weary. He said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This renounce part, this is what I have to do. The word renounce, the translation for the word renounce means to say to oneself, I have talked to me. I have to tell myself, you can do this. You are going to make it. You're going to be fine. You're going to be healed. You're already blessed. You're already delivered. You have to say to oneself, by saying to yourself, you renounce whatever it is that's coming against you, trying to separate your mindset from the blessings of God. You know, we only think we're blessed if we got a lot of. You can be blessed and have none of.
Amen.
If you got the joy of the Lord in your life, the whole world can be against you. He said, but have renounced the hidden things. Things which have been shameful secrets. Things. When you say shameful secrets, folks get to thinking about infidelity and adultery and fornication. Where's jealousy? Envy. Hatred. Malice. Strife. Conflict. Confusion. There are things that have been hidden. dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I got the name of this message from my wife. It's called Man in the Mirror. Because if you don't see you, if you don't see you when you look in the mirror, you like a vampire. We know it's a myth, but it's still a bloodsucker. It's invented to take life and not give life. And the life that it gives, it produces more death. If you can't see yourself when you look in the mirror, if you see somebody other than the way you were when you first gave your heart and life to God, then the word not means not depending on feeling. I like the word cunning. I had to deal with a guy this week who is cunning. He's so cunning that when God showed it to me, it broke my heart to have to do what I had to do. I quit his team. It broke my heart. Because I give you all of me. And I'll defend you to the death. But if God shows me something, you got a problem. Because I'm going to leave you high and dry. Because if I go down, it's going to be because I want to go down. Not because of you.
Amen. All right. Amen. Amen.
Because I found out that he had an alternative motive. If you want to put craftiness on layman's terms, it means alternative motive. Meaning that there's something in you working that others don't see because it doesn't come to the forefront. I've been around this place a long time. And one thing I've learned is to try spirit by the spirit. I think that's why I'm still surviving. Don't mean you judge. Judge not lest you be judged. But you try it. You align it with scripture, truth scripture, not your own interpretation. And the word of God deceitfully. When it talks about, when Paul's talking about using the word of God deceitfully, he's talking about we've taken the word of God and changed it and translated it to a fourth way so that we can use it to ensnare. If you could convince somebody that God told them to give you $1,000, they'll give it to you and lose their home. That's called entrapment, to ensnare. Using the word or logos or reenactment of what God has spoken to ensnare. You better get in this word so that you can't get snared. Folks get snared every day. They're getting ensnared every day by their own thoughts, their ideas, and their principles. The word of God. Deceitful, the logos of God. And what he's telling us, that we know that God is Theos, or the revealed God, the revelatory God. And what he's saying is, if you can't see the word of God manifesting itself in their lives, then their word is not a true word. Yeah. It's just a word. Amen. And you can't live off of just a word. You need the anointing.
Amen.
But by manifestation. And what he's saying is, in all this stuff, you can't be deceitful, or you can't be untrustworthy, or you can't ensnare people, but there's got to be a manifestation, or there's got to be an exhibition of the truth flowing forth from your life.
Amen.
Got to be. You've got to exhibit the power of God, the truth, so that you can commend yourself in strengthening yourself. The word commend means to strengthen ourselves to every man's conscience. Pastor Keys, now, I got kind of a little twisted up on that, you know, because it says here to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then my Bible tells me that it's talking about a conscience of every man. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, is it every man's conscience or every conscience of a man? So, Brother Andy, it made me research a little bit deeper. And what come to the understanding in my spirit was, he was talking about every man's perception. A lot of times, the way you perceive a circumstance or a situation or whatever it is you're going through is how you react to it. It may not even be what you think it is. But because of your perception of the circumstance, you'll take it that way.
Yeah.
And it'll mess with your mindset. It'll mess with your spirit. It'll try to mess with the anointing of God in your life. It'll mess with the presence of God in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's based on the perception. So to every man's perception in the sight. Or in the presence of God. Do you know, Jesus said the simple words, when you see me, you see my Father. And when you see my Father, you see me. He was saying that in all that happens, and all that I go through, and all that transpires, if I can do what the word that I am tells me to do, then my Father's presence will always be in my midst. If you come up against hatred and you love, if you come up against discouragement and you encourage, if you come up to a place where there's no peace and you speak peace, if you come into a place where there's sadness and you manifest or you exhibit joy, what you do is you create an atmosphere in that place where it creates and presents the presence of God, because God's presence is in his word. In the beginning was the word of God, and the word of God was God. I'm paraphrasing. It is the presence of God. So wherever God's word is exhibited, there is the presence of God. You may not sense him, you may not feel him, but that's not what you're trying to do anyway. You're trying to let people know that there's somebody that's walking in the reality of God's word. You hate me, I'm gonna love you. You talk against me, I'm going to encourage you. You try to beat me down, I'm going to lift you up. I'm not going to let you destroy the presence of God in my life. Years ago, when I was growing up in this church, they used to always preach that there were demons assigned to you. There were either demons or angels assigned to you. Later on in life, I found out there are human beings assigned to you who don't have demons or angels in them, but they've been assigned to you, and they have a purpose for your gospel just like you do. That's what Paul understood. That's what he found out on the road to Damascus, that it ain't just about demons and angels, it's about people. But he said, don't matter. He said, but if our gospel, if the good news in us is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to them that are perishing. You know what? There's folks in all the churches across the United States, not just this one, that are perishing. And they're perishing because there are so many things going in their lives, they can't focus on the truth. And that's Jesus. He says, in whom the God of this world. In whom the God of this world. We know the world is cosmos, so it's also translated ages or times or seasons. But when we talk about the God of this world, we immediately think but if you go by what Scripture says, you're going to stand on Scripture says he's the prince of the air, not the God of this world. In whom the God of this world the key word here is this. Can you do something with this? The key word here is the word this. You hear the word this and you think it means something that you touch. But it's actually talking about a person. The originality of the word this is a thing or persons of a thing. What he's saying is that the God of this world or the person of this world. What did he say in Thessalonians? For he has seated himself in the temple of God, proclaiming that he is God. And we all know that we're the temple of God. God's been working on me. Has blinded and I love to study. It's just so hard getting to do it because you just be so preoccupied. Has blinded the minds. You can't make a mind not see. But the word blinded doesn't mean to be blind where you can't see. It means to be in obscurity. You can go through so many things in your body or in your life or in your surroundings that your mindset has changed and you see things in obscurity. You don't see the light of it. You can't see the good of it. You can't see the blessing in it. You can't see the joy in it. You can't see the peace in it because you're seeing it in obscurity. You see it, but then yet you don't see it all the way. Because your focus has been tainted. Then, had my focus tainted, had my mind set in obscurity, thought I was looking at something, but I didn't see what I was supposed to be looking at. I only saw what I created in my own mind. And it was leading me down a path of destruction. Blinded the minds. What do we say about perception? Blinded my, made my perception obscure. Made my purpose obscure. Even though I knew I had a purpose, I could no longer sense the purpose. When you can't sense your purpose, then you slow down. Or you get mad at the world. Who ain't the problem anyway? I said to myself, I'm the problem. God said, well, thank God. I'm glad you realized it. I've been trying to teach you for the last 20 years. Intellect and my disposition was off in obscurity. And my focus wasn't there. When you lose your focus, you lose your purpose. And when you lose your purpose, your faith begins to fail on you. And when your faith begins to fail you, then you are no longer pleasing God. Because you can't please God without faith. Why? Because faith is a divinely implanted principle that's in your life that's supposed to produce life. So he said, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious, Pastor Keys was preaching on the light about 2-3 weeks ago in Sunday night service, about how tremendous and how powerful the light is, because the light is powerful. Because when it talks about the light in this group of scriptures, it's talking about an illumination. Somebody say illumination.
Illumination.
Like a glow worm. Amen. Lest the light of the glorious gospel. If you lose your focus, then that light, that illumination diminishes. If the illumination diminishes, then they can't see Jesus. And if they can't see Jesus, then you're the one that's losing out. Because that's what you are here for. It's to show forth the praises and the glory of God. And I like it says, glorious gospel. The glorious gospel, just not a gospel, but a glorious gospel. A gospel where it creates worship. A gospel where it produces maturity. A gospel where it produces praise. A gospel where it produces the truth. This is the gospel that does these things, because in spite of all your hardships and all your troubles and all your trials, you found a way to show forth the praises and the power of God in your life. It shines forth out of.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
He didn't say he was going to get rid of it. It says, who is the image, the gospel of Christ, who is the risen one, who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, which give us life. Who is the image? He is the stature. Not the statue, but the stature. And the profile and the representation and the resemblance of God. If you put it all up and throw it into a hat and you pull out one word, one meaning from it, it means character. Not going through what you're going through for no reason. You're going through what you're going through because God's trying to produce something in you. God trying to show forth his light in you. God trying to show forth his character in you. You know why God wants to show forth his character in you? Because when it comes to this end time, the only thing that's going to have power is the character of God. Not your ability to talk skillfully or intelligently or philosophically, not going to have no power. Only the light and the very presence of God is going to have power, which is God's character. Because it will allow you to move through the walls. It will allow you to move through the people that are trying to kill you. It will allow you to move through the trials and the tribulations. It will allow you, in spite of the clouds that are flowing around you, even though some of them are pouring out acid rain, you'll be able to sense the cloud that has the true rain.
Amen.
God told me, he said, it's up to you. Why? Because we're not preaching. We're not proclaiming. We're not exhibiting ourselves. It's Christ in you, your hope of glory. But Christ Jesus the Lord.
This is the For it is you that liveth not, but is Addis living in thee. Yea, for you came forth, but you did not shine in the darkness. For I came that you might have the light, and that the light might shine abroad from thee, and that others may see that light, and that they may receive the directions and the instructions that you have received. For yea, I raised you up, yea, to shine forth. Yea, did I not call you the light of the world? For you are still that light that I call forth. And yea, even though you walk in the darkness, even though you go through the trials and the circumstances that is up on thy life, yea, remember this one thing, my children, I am with thee whithersoever thou goest. And yea, I have prepared the way, and I have moved things, and I have rearranged things. And yea, they're already waiting on you to come past. And they're already waiting on you to claim the victory. So lift up thine head right now and praise me, for I am in your midst, and I am your God, and I shall be with thee until the end of this age, said God.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not here to pat you on the back or to make you feel good. I want to see you grow up into the head. Because if you grow up into the head will flow down from you. And you'll manifest or you'll illustrate or illuminate the very character and the presence of God. I know you're going through it. I know you're tired. And it seems like the whole world and your family and your friends are against you. But let them be.
Hallelujah.
You do what God called you to do. I've learned that lesson here. I've learned and taught a lesson by God that regardless of what you come up against, you got to do what God called you to do. Regardless of how you feel, you got to do what God called you to do. Regardless of what's going on in your personal life, you still got to do the work of God. Regardless of how bad you may feel in your body, you've got to do the work of the ministry. I'm not talking to you about nothing that I haven't experienced or nothing I haven't already been through or I've had to try or I've been hurt by. The image of God should shine unto them. The them are not those the unbelievers, but the them are those who the unbelievers are trying to get to. But they see a light in you that shows them that the unbelievers are exactly what they are, unbelievers. You can't use words to convince nobody. You can't do nothing to make them. All you can do is show them. But you have to remember, you can't show anybody anything until you first realize that it's all about the man in the mirror. It's about the man in the mirror. I'm closing with this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So even though the battle tries to come against us and create a spirit or a mindset of obscurity, it said God still commanded. It's almost like God is contradicting himself. Because it said he cares for us, but then he's saying, I don't care if you don't obey my word. Because he's commanding the light or the illumination to shine forth or to manifest itself out of the midst of your obscurity or your shapelessness. Because it says he had shined in in our hearts. He has. He has shined in our hearts. Amen. And the word hearts here, when it talks about hearts, it's not talking about your physical heart, but it's talking about your feelings. He's not saying you can't have feelings. He's not saying you can't have emotions. You can't have thoughts. But he's saying control them. Control them. That's what he's saying. Control them. If you have hard thoughts of anger, control them. If you have feelings of animosity, control them. If you have feelings of stress or anxiety or disgust, control them. If you have feelings of hatred or emotionalizing hatred, control it. Didn't say you weren't going to experience. He just said control it. How can we not experience it when it says we have not a high priest who was touched with the feelings of our shortcomings? But yet he figured out a way that if he did it in the Father and he allowed the illumination and the glorious gospel to flow out of him, he could do it without sin. That means he can do it without allowing his flesh to overwhelm his feelings and his emotions. Everything he did was showing you that he went through. He showed you in the garden he had feelings. He showed you in the garden how hurt he was. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Those are his feelings and emotions. But he did what the word said. He brought it under subjection. He cast down every imagination that was trying to exalt itself above or against the word that was in his life. And he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because Father, you're greater than this flesh. So if I got to die, then let me die. He says, show forth the light of the knowledge. What is the knowledge? The experience that you have received from going through the things you've been through. And if you haven't learned anything from all the things you've been through, you have no experience. And if you have no experience, you have no light. And if you have no light, then you're not that beacon sitting on top of the hill, which shows men the way to the light out of their darkness. Of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The word face, translation for the word face, is presence. God, Lord, seems like every turn I make is a wrong turn. Every step I take is the wrong step. Every word I speak is the wrong word. Every thought I have is the wrong thought. And God said, yeah, it might be, but it don't matter. Because as long as you are able to accept responsibility for your wrong turns and your bad steps and your bad thoughts, then I can help you. Folks waiting on God to send an angel down and just go. And everything gonna be gone. I wish it happened like that, but it don't. I stopped being delusional years ago. Because I was always waiting. I was calling on the angels of the Lord. I need deliverance. To shine forth. Or to break forth. With experience as you proclaim the character of God in your life. So whatever it is you're going through, don't let it destroy you. Don't let it separate you. Don't let it unmotivate you for letting the glorious gospel manifest itself in your life. It's up to you. It's your decision. You have to make the decision. As we run on, as we continue to fight, as we keep believing God, as we keep lifting Him up, it's up to us. We have to make the decision to be who God has already preordained that we become. It's like God predestinated for us to be conformed to the image of His Son, but then He handed us destiny and put it in our hands. And then He used His word to show us purpose. But then He said, the destiny is up to you though. The only way you can bring forth your destiny or make it a reality is by understanding what your purpose is. And most of the church don't know what their purpose is. We think our purpose is to be pastors and to be teachers and to be preachers and evangelists and apostles and to be laymen and to be elders and to be all the ushers. And no, that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to allow the illumination of the manifest of the character of God in our lives in spite of whatever storm cloud we're going through. That's what shows forth the mercy of God. So when you start feeling sorry for yourself, look at the man in the mirror. So sure, every time I look at the man in the mirror, he reminds me, all stuff you've been through, you created it. You created it. He said, when I taught you how not to blame the devil, you started blaming people. I teach you how not to blame people. Then you start blaming other stuff. Well, if my foot didn't hurt, if I hadn't had a bad day, or my boss hadn't went off on me, or I didn't have a rough time with my wife or my husband before I left the house, those are excuses that God don't want to hear. All He wants to do is see the light, the illumination of His presence coming forth from your light wherever you are. You know what's so devastating about it all? He ain't gonna accept nothing less. It's funny, isn't it? He'll accept our mistakes and forgive us. He'll accept our screw-ups and forgive us. He'll overlook our shortcomings and forgive us. But He won't forgive us for not doing what He told us to do. And that's to let His character manifest or come forth from our lives. And you know when you go find out you ain't been forgiven? When you get before Him and He said, get out before me, you worker of iniquity. Because what He understands, that we're starting to understand, is that Paul understood this, that if you don't stand on the word, then you're lawless. And if you're lawless, you're a worker of iniquity. That means you're working iniquity. You didn't figure out how to work it. We take the word of God and manipulate it so that it'll do what we want it to do. So that we can do what we want to do. And we can use it to beat other folks over the head with it and judge other folks. I don't judge no man. I've been through too much hell to judge anybody. I've made too many mistakes to judge anybody. I've screwed up too many times to judge anybody. But I'm going to tell you what this word say, and then it's up to you whether you want to live by it or not. Amen. You say, well, I hear him talk about, I don't know why preachers do that, get up in the pulpit, because the word is for them too. They're not just preaching to you, they're preaching to themselves. You know, God gave it to them before He gave it to you. Now, whether or not He accepted it is a different story. A lot of times we get so high-minded, so haughty, and so self-exalted in ourselves because we're pastors or evangelists or preachers or whatever we want to call ourselves, that we forget that the word is to us first.
Yeah.
So we'll... Let me be quiet. Everyone stand. Thank you. Martina drives me crazy sometimes because she finds the most inopportune time to remind me that it's not about me, but it's about ministry. It ain't about you. It's about ministry. So if you think you're doing all this to be perfect, stop wasting your time. You ain't never gonna make it. But you can come to a place where there's no obscurity that's controlling your life. And when you get there, you will mature in the things of God. And God is looking for folks that are mature in Him. He's sick of all these babies. That's why Paul said, I give you meat, but you can't handle it. So I got to give you milk, which you know going to make you sick, because you might be lactose intolerant. So here you are drinking all this milk because you can't handle the meat. Baby, give me the meat. If you got to shove it down my throat and I got to gag on it a little while, give it to me. Because after you get through gagging, don't you feel better? Because half the time you get the gagging, ain't nobody around. And you pray, Lord, help me. Can't get a word out. But in your mind, you said, to our rescue. I gotta tell you, trouble is always on the horizon. I'm telling you, I went through some stuff with the city of Birmingham. Maybe I was ready to give up. I used to talk real, and they thought that mess was funny. They'd be sitting up here laughing. What you have to do, brother? First thing we ever say when I see him on Sunday morning, where'd they make you go this week? And there were times I was honestly ready to give up. You know what? When you hold fast to your professional faith, guess what? Thursday, they had to leave me alone. They cannot mess with me ever again. But you know what that comes from? That don't come from me so much than per se as standing the ground, but it comes from corporate prayer. If we don't have a corporate anointing, then we're not going to make it. That's what Paul was teaching in them scriptures. It's all about corporate anointing. Corporate anointing produces an illumination that goes beyond the walls.
Yes.
Seem like, but I am very happy and excited about the things of God. Very excited. because I see things in the midst of the darkness. I can see the light. Since I can see the light peeking through, and I only need to see a piece of it. When I see that piece, pastors, the old man go, oh man, I let him see a little bit of it. Because then I'm running towards the light, Sister Ray. I'm running towards it. I may trip on my way there, but I'm gonna get up. Scarred knees. This morning, as we prepare for the ministries that God is enabling us with, as we look in the mirror and we can see that man, and we don't see this man, but we see that inner man, because you will recognize and understand that through our experiences we can see him, because we made it through. I made it through. I made it through my trial. I made it through my troubles. I made it through my pains. I made it through. Amen. If you're not afraid to admit that you got some stuff going on in your life, and when you look in the mirror, you don't see him, you don't see Jesus, then come stand across the front and take somebody by the hand. Now, if you look in the mirror and you're expecting to see the man in the picture, then you got problems. I want to see me. I want to see me the way God sees me. Most important lessons I ever was taught by God was, can't nobody stop you but you. You're the only one that can stop you. Nobody else can. They might get in your way. They might put up roadblocks, but they can't stop you. I've been blocked, tripped up, flipped over like I was a rib. Sister Debbie, that's because I didn't see it coming. I had lost my focus, and I was looking at everything in obscurity. So I went on in it anyway. But I paid a price. I'm trying to help you keep from paying. The idea, the principle, is to keep you from experiencing the same hurt and the heartache that I experienced. Is to make the right turn on the right road. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we pray this morning, let there be an illumination of your power and your strength. Your glory, let it come forth within their lives and shine up out of whatever darkness may be in their lives. Father, it doesn't matter what it is. It ain't nobody's business but you and theirs. But Father, let this light shine forth out of it. Lord, that they might have a vision to see and understand what you have purposed them to and for. Though the enemy comes in, we know that like a flood, Father, you shall raise up a standard against it. And that standard is in your character, that we might have the disposition and the knowledge and the ability to do your desire and your will. So Father, as we stand here this morning, as you've been preparing us, Father, with all the hardships and the hurts and the pains and the persecutions and the afflictions that we've had to experience in the last year. You've been preparing us for greatness, not in ourselves, but in you. So, Father, let us see you in the same light as you see us. Because then, Father, our testimony will be, when you see me, you see the Son. And when you see the Son, you see me. So prepare us for this blessing, for this knowledge, and for this understanding. Father, we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus.
Show me
your face. I want to see you.
Show me
your face. that's in the place, yes. Show us your face, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to see your glory. See what you don't see. I see your future. But I also know that you are in control of it. And every wrong turn you make delays that purpose from manifesting itself in your life. Every bad decision that you'll make will slow down your growth and your maturity in God. That's why you go through and feel and sense the things you sense. Because the enemy wants to separate you from your destiny. And only you will allow it if you allow it. But you don't have to. That's why I'm on you guys. That's why I press on you. Because I see your destiny. I see your future. I see the purpose in your lives. Even if you don't, I do. And that's more than a notion. And it's more than enough for me. Because I'm going to lay before God for you. Because I know what we're headed to. And I know what God has taken us, Brother Tony. Brother Tony going through stuff. But didn't God bless you? So please hear me. So wide for you guys. It is so humongous. If you guys take your anointing and corporately blend it together, it'll go before you and make your places straight. It'll tear down doors that have been closed. It'll remove walls that folks have erected in front of you to block you and to keep you out. Because you know why? They see what I see. They see the talent. that's trying to take it going and screw it itself. I know. Listen to me. I can't tell you. I'm gonna show you. The power of God is great. Sure, it's crazy out there. I saw folks getting out of their cars yelling at folks behind them. I've seen young men who can barely hold their pants up this week trying to rob a man that wouldn't even bother him in his own driveway. Up in his driveway trying to rob him. I see all this stuff taking place. But you know what? My faith in God is not diminished one bit. Not one bit. Not a bit. It don't stop you from being God. It just means there's some funny folks out there. He could barely keep his pants up, pastors. But he was jumping on this man. Previous service, please get it out and bring it down. If you had a birthday this week, this month, please stand up. I know some of y'all stood up already because we're still in August. But his birthday was Friday. He's standing up fresh and anew. Brad wasn't here. Brad's foot, yeah. Man, he getting old. He getting old, Brad. You getting young. You know, you gotta know how to work this thing, you know. Thank y'all very much. God bless you. He said, you guys are still alive because of you guys. The church is still alive because of the church. But don't worry, somebody always reminded me that it's not about me. But that's a good thing. I receive it. I receive it. Amen. God is sitting to us. Already started, really. I haven't seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for you. Oh, man. He really has it. But you know what? I'm running to it. But Fred, I'm not waiting on no more. I'm not waiting on no more. I'm running to it. I want to be like the cowboy. I'm going to cut it off at the pass. Amen. Brother Andy, I'm after you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as they sow these seeds this morning, Father, you're going to supply and meet supernatural needs in their lives. Father, we believe your word from Genesis to Revelation. We believe in the blessing. We believe in all that you do. Father, so we thank you right now for moving upon this seed. Lord God, you said every seed shall bear fruit after its own kind. Father, we seed believing and knowing that the seed shall flourish and shall come back unto us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father, let that go forth and let it come forth. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Come on, Brother Curtis. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, supply and meet his needs. In Jesus' name. How many notice our building's been painted out here?